It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The fact that our prisons are overcrowded is not news. How do we prevent people from becoming repeat offenders and help them re-enter society? One solution could be taking place at the county day reporting centers. Here to tell us how these centers could be a model for the Commonwealth and the rest of the country is Ron Seiko, Probation Office Director for Allegheny County. Ron Seiko, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for inviting me to be on the program.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What ideas or questions do you have about preventing people from becoming repeat offenders and helping them re-enter society? 412-246-2002. We'd especially like to hear from someone who has been on probation. What helped you transition back into society? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Ron Seiko, tell us first of all, just explain exactly what the county day reporting centers are.
Well, Paul, the day reporting centers are a one-stop shop of services for offenders who've come under the supervision of our adult probation and parole department. We recognize that offenders, first of all, our number one priority is community safety. And we believe that the best way to protect the community is to prepare offenders who are under our supervision to enable them to become law-abiding citizens and contributing members of society. So in order to do that, we recognize that if people get into trouble with the law, and there are reasons for that. They have needs that sort of drive them in that direction.
Sure.
And we need to what we do is we do risk assessments and identify what those needs are that need to be addressed through our centers and through our probation and parole officers. And then the day reporting centers are used as this one-stop shop that provides the services in one location.
And when you talk about risk assessment, how does that work and how does that play into deciding how to deal with a particular individual who is on probation?
We have over 25,000 offenders who are under our jurisdiction, cannot see everyone
Sure.
The same way and treat everyone the same way. And not everyone is the same risk. So we use an instrument to identify who are the low-risk offenders who most likely will not get in trouble with the law again, who are the medium or moderate-risk offenders, and who are the high-risk, the ones who we need to pay particular attention to addressing their needs and supervising them in order to prevent them from committing additional crimes. So the risk assessment just gives us a level of risk, and we focus on the medium and the high-risk offenders and provide the supervision and program and services to that population.
Do you have a breakdown? Do you have a percentage of the number of offenders who you've identified as wanting to find a job, to get back into society, to be productive members of society, as opposed to the number of those who just aren't into getting with the system and are looking to basically do their own end around into some sort of unsavory activities and that kind of thing?
Well, that's how the risk needs assessments, those help us identify what do we need to do with the offenders to get them engaged in things that we recognize will allow them to get a job. Our job is to motivate them, to get them to the point where – and prepare them in order to be able not only to get the job but mm-hmm. also to maintain that job and to be a good employee. So,
but I guess what I'm asking here is what is the percentage of the people that you don't necessarily have to motivate who want to turn their lives around, as opposed to those who just they're not going to change?
Generally, that would be the low risk offenders who are going to do well and it's the moderate and the high risk. So I would say the percentage would be probably about 30 to 40% that are the low risk. And then the rest of the population are the ones that are going to need some level of either remedial education or training, GED, just life skills to get them ready so that they – as I said, can become contributing members.
What do you find is the thing that creates the aha moment for some of these people? For example, I was reading about one of the women who went to this center and said, this is the first time anybody's ever helped me try to put together a resume and actually, you know, give me some ideas for how to go about finding a job, which she eventually did. Is it a matter of simply exposing people to things that will help them that they may never have been exposed to before?
I think you're right, Paul. I think it's providing the opportunity and also the resources that in order – we put these community resource – these day reporting centers in the local communities so that it's available to people. And the hours are from noon till 8 p.m., so it's much more convenient. We identify what we need to work on to help them and then provide the programmings based on those needs.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Ron Seiko, probation office director for Allegheny County. Let's go to the phones. We have Bonnie in Pittsburgh. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, my comment really is I know your conversation is specifically addressing the probation period, time period, and after, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What are these fellas and these women who complete their probation and pay their dues, so to speak, to society via fines, whatever, nonviolent offenders especially, they might even go to school. They might even do what they need to do. And then they still cannot get hired anywhere because of computers, because of the internet, however, their privacy. I mean, it's
what
like,
you're saying.
Are they ever really completely exonerated from, you know, if you can't get a job.
Bonnie, let me jump in. What it sounds like what you're asking here is, correct me if I'm wrong, if somebody has a record, how much you're saying that in spite of all the help they might be given, their record is this shadow that continues to hang over them and be an obstacle to their reentering society.
Life after they've ran the rampant and did what they had to do. I mean, come on. Something's wrong with this picture.
All right. So what Bonnie's saying here is that there is this. This lack of forgiveness, lack of giving somebody a second chance that is creating an impediment.
Well, Bonnie, I think the issue which you're bringing up is when someone has a record, that presents a major obstacle for them. And to a certain extent, you're absolutely right. But we are able to get offenders who have a record. There are employers
out
there.
How do you do that? How do you get past what Bonnie's asking here is, how do you get past the stigma of being a criminal?
Well, there are employers out there who will hire someone with a criminal record. The main thing is to improve academic levels, reading levels, prepare them. A lot of people who come under into our day reporting centers or on probation with us, just getting them to the point where they're able to prepare a resume and to identify what their skills are and then prepare them for interviewing so that they're able to not – they need to address their record, but there are ways to present that during interviews that put them in a favorable light if that's the position they're in.
Does a prospective employer look at that? When somebody with a record comes in and wants a job, do they look at the fact that, okay, this person committed a crime, but before they did that, they were a high school dropout. They had drug problems. They didn't even have a GED. Now, since that time, they have completed high school or maybe some kind of a trade school or vocational school education. They have good grades. They have credentials. Is that taken into consideration?
I think it is. I mean, the point that has to be made and communicated is, yeah, there were issues in the past, but these are the steps I've taken to better my life, and that since then there have been no other issues. I now am able to do all these other things and to communicate that to the prospective employer.
Do you folks get involved in that? Do you lobby prospective employers? Do you say do you show them statistics that indicate the lack of a low recidivism rate among people who've come through your program?
Well, our staff, we work with we have various contacts who hire people who are under our supervision, and just through those working relationships, it builds confidence in the people that then apply for these jobs.
We're talking with Ron Seiko, he is Probation Office Director for Allegheny County, and we are discussing the day reporting centers. You are saying that these centers have refocused the emphasis. What has the focus been? What is it now?
Well, over the past several years, we've taken embraced we use the term evidence-based practices. It's really research driving our practices. We look at what the evidence says. These are effective ways to deal with people who are under probation, parole, supervision. This started a number of years ago. Propelled actually by our judges, Judge McDaniel, Judge Manning, Judge Cashman, these and our other criminal court judges. We have a great collaboration with other the jail, the Department of Human Services. So we decided that we need to take a look at what is the effective way to approach supervising someone so that they don't come out and commit more crimes. So there is a body of research, and it gets better every year. That gets more and more compelling in terms of what's effective, what works, what doesn't work. And what we have done is we've applied these principles and these concepts, and we put them in place. And this continues to evolve. And the key now is to measure the outcomes, to evaluate how well are we doing. And the research we've done, and it was an early research study, I mean, based on the day reporting centers for a 12-month period, we looked at people who were exposed to the programming in the 2-day reporting centers and compared them to an office that doesn't have a day reporting center, looking at just 3 specific services that were provided. And the research showed that those offenders, high-risk offenders, the ones most likely to commit another crime, for the high-risk offenders, those who went through the day reporting center programs had a 7% recidivism rate, which is re-arrest.
7%.
7%. Those who were not exposed to programming in the day reporting centers had a 29% recidivism rate. For the medium risk offenders, there was a 12% re-arrest rate, compared to which was 10% lower than those who did not have a reporting center programs. So 12% versus 22%, 7% versus 29%. We're encouraged, and we'll continue to evaluate these programs. The concept of day reporting centers, we've added additional services, and through a block grant through the Department of Human Services, they are providing up to $300,000 in funding for additional programming that include not just GED preparation, but GED testing, drug assessments.
And this all happens under one – you mentioned one stop. So you go to one place, you check in with your PO, your parole officer. I'm guessing this is where you would undergo a drug test, the urinalysis. This is where you would that people there have access to computers. They can put together a resume, and there are people to help them do that as well.
Right, exactly. We have an employment preparation program through Goodwill Industries, not only preparing people to get a job, but then leading to employment. We have our staff perform life skill trainings for the people who are under our supervision. We have housing assistance, people coming out of jail on parole, which we call our reentry population. A number of them have difficulty finding housing,
sure,
which makes them an even greater risk to the community. So we have an opportunity through these block grants. Now we can provide emergency bed space for people until they're able to get longer term type of housing.
To reduce the anxiety that might lead them to have a relapse into the things that got them into trouble. And it sounds like this is something that's making it as easy as possible for people by having all of this combined under one roof. You mentioned that I was going to ask you about funding. You mentioned the block grants. Are you concerned that you know, with grants, there sometimes can be some challenge to ongoing funding? Do you have concerns about the funding running out, and then what do you do?
Well, both the day reporting centers that we have in operation were started with funding through grants through the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, but those grant funds are gone. We are now funding them primarily with supervision fees that offenders pay and court costs that offenders pay. So it's being paid for by offenders who are under our jurisdiction. In terms of sustainability, I think we have a pretty good model in place.
412-246-2002, if you'd like to get in on the conversation with Ron Seiko, Probation Office Director for Allegheny County. Let's go to Jack in Pittsburgh. Jack, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Sure. Did you want to ask me something, or do you want me to ask you?
Well, you called us, so go ahead with your comment or question.
I have some experience in the justice system in Allegheny County. I've been in and out of jail a lot in the late teens and early 20s. And the experience that I had with problem-solving courts, mental health court to be specific, and drug court when I was younger, and then mental health court when I got older, actually was a much more structured way to get back into society. my experience with probation has always been that probation officers have heard it all, seen it all, and have been exposed to so much that having a probation officer in a probation system that's not entirely jaded is really difficult. And, in regards to what the earlier caller was saying about employability, you can't even rent an apartment in Allegheny County with a criminal record anymore. So there really isn't a place for most people. I'm extraordinarily lucky in that I have a lot of skills that I've honed over the years that are marketable. And, but if I was honest with potential employers about my criminal record, I would never find work. And I would remain forever locked in a complete and utter system of degradation, which is how I felt as a teenager, and it's only through, a few key people and basically my own will that's gotten me past that.
Well, Jack, first of all, we very much appreciate your forthrightness and your willingness to share your story with us. Stay on the line if you would. What about what Jack is saying? It sounds like, Jack, and you might want to hear this if you didn't already, you addressed Jack's concern about the housing, that while it may be difficult for someone with a record to find housing in Allegheny County, that these centers do what they can to not only provide temporary housing while someone is looking, but also to help them find a permanent place to live.
That's exactly right. Our probation and parole officers work closely with the day reporting centers, and they if they identify someone who is in need of housing, there are not in addition to the housing, the beds that I mentioned earlier, but there's a services involved where that we can consult with housing experts in order to navigate. There's no doubt about it. It's a very complicated system in terms of getting housing, and to have a criminal record certainly poses additional obstacles. But there are ways, and we have developed a system to try to identify and work through that complicated system.
And Jack, it sounds like you were saying that you were not always – I'm guessing that you were not always honest is what you're saying in order to at least get housing?
If I had been honest, I would have never have found a place to live or had a job. I mean, I've been turned down for jobs at McDonald's, and that's with being honest. Now I work in a field where it's a don't ask, don't tell situation. And, that's how most of the people I know that have been through my situation have gotten to, become members of society in a meaningful way. And that's pretty much it. You know, like being honest when you have a criminal record will not get you anywhere in this system.
Right.
And so, you have to have other marketable skills that people recognize and in most cases look to exploit first in order to actually get on your feet.
So, Ron, what you have said that that you can present your case to employers and that oftentimes they're open-minded and willing to give someone a second chance. But Jack is painting a somewhat different picture of what it's like to be out there, you know, and trying to be honest with people and then being rejected. So there seems to be kind of a gap in the official and the unofficial story. So where does the truth lie?
Well, I can cite the example of a woman who through a referral to our day reporting center was able to prepare herself for by getting a resume together, by practicing interviewing skills through leads that were developed through working with our day reporting center staff, an interview at PNC Park where she ended up becoming employee of the month, and then that led to her getting a position as a supervisor. So that, what I'm saying is there are employers out there who are willing to give people the opportunity, and a criminal record isn't by itself going to permanently exclude someone from the job market.
So you're satisfied that there are enough of those out there?
I think that we are always looking for additional resources in terms of employment opportunities. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that these obstacles can be overcome.
Let's go to Aaron and Carrick for one final question. Aaron, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
So I had a question. I was interested to hear that the, as I recall, the recidivism rate for high risk offenders was changed for in your program from dropped from like 29% to 7%, I believe, and the medium risk was like 22 to 12, as I recall. I was wondering if you had any commentary on why it's more effective for high risk offenders than medium risk. If you just spend more time with them, or what? And I can take my comment off the air.
Thank you, Aaron.
Well, we're continuing to evaluate that. It's possible. There's a number of explanations that we need to further study this, but most likelihood is that we identified their needs and were able to link them to the services that address them. And I just think that it's remarkable that when you're looking at the people who are at the highest risk to commit another crime are able to benefit to this extent. I think that's certainly encouraging, and we'll continue to evaluate that.
Ron Seiko is the probation office director for Allegheny County, joining us in Studio A. It's been a great conversation. I think our listeners and the people that called in got a lot out of what you had to tell them. And Ron, thanks for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, gender violence expert Jackson Katz on redefining masculinity in our society. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.